Please do be seated. I doubt many of us before last Sunday had heard of the Cambridge Institute of Criminology, let alone the training program Learning Together to bring a sense of being, belonging and becoming to convicts. That study brought together graduate students and offenders to study together, aiming for rehabilitation into society through redemptive justice. Do we believe in rehabilitation beyond the redemption that we have received from God? We need to believe that people can be rehabilitated into society. Jack Merritt and Saskia Jones fervently believe this. The professor at the Institute of Criminology said of Jack, "He was deeply creative and courageously engaged with the world, advocating for a politics of love. He worked tirelessly in dark places to pull towards the light." I do not know whether Jack and Saskia had Christian faith in Jesus Christ, but I know they were deeply, deeply engaged with bringing light into dark places. And through our faith, so must we be, in prayer and in practice. As Christians, we are called to civic and community engagement. We have a duty to impact culture in a manner that reflects the truth and love of Jesus Christ. And this redemptive justice is justice which has its ends in reconciliation, peace, and flourishing for all parties. Christians must address today's dilemmas with courage, kindness, and an unshakable faith. We must speak truth with compassion and conviction. And it brings to my mind Bishop Stephen's call for us to be compassionate, courageous, and contemplative as we seek to be more like Christ in our interaction with each other. The professor referred to Jack as advocating a politics of love, and that seems particularly poignant as we come to these frenetic days at the end of a general election campaign, where the last thing we seem to see is a politics of love. Let us pray against the politics of hate that seems to pervade relationships between our political parties at the moment. Let us pray for respect for others' views and opinions, and for there to be positive public interaction in debate, and allow each of us to hold with integrity the truths that we bear. Jack worked tirelessly in dark places to pull towards the light. And we read elsewhere in Isaiah about the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Light has shined on us, and we're celebrating that as we prepare in these weeks of Advent for the light of Christ. We shall be reading that wonderful Gospel of John where he writes, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." Our passages this morning are quite challenging. Isaiah seems to set a scene, but is that a scene for now, the near future, or at Jesus' return? It certainly is foretelling the coming of Jesus, both at his incarnation, at that first Christmas, and at his coming again a technical word, parousia, his return at when he brings the kingdom to completion. Isaiah writes how this will follow the end of the Davidic line in exile. So it's also relevant to the people at the time. And it talks of harmony and unity in creation. And how much we fervently pray for that in the reality of our state today. We have a continual need to acknowledge the redemption that we have already received as Christians, having been saved from the consequences of our sin, the price paid, the redemption made through Christ's death. We deeply need reconciliation, restoration of friendly relations, not just with God, but with each other and with those outside our fellowship, those in the wider world. We need to be looking out to the needs and the expectations of others. And we should pray fervently that we'll no longer be estranged from each other and from God because of our sin, because we are forgiven people. We are in desperate need of rehabilitation. Rehabilitation means returning to normal society after a period of illness. We think, don't we, of friends and relatives who've been in rehab as they come back to live a normal life at home, or a period of imprisonment, which of course was the work of that Living Together project. And we read so frequently within the New Testament how in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself. Is this for today, or is this for an unknown future? We speak, don't we, about living between times. Jesus inaugurated, he began the kingdom on his coming to witness to us and to bring his gospel to us. And we live between that time and the time of the future kingdom coming at Jesus' return. We say it is here, but not entirely here yet. And so what Isaiah is talking about is an ideal of that return of Jesus at his second coming. But we are told, are we not, in page after page of the gospel, that we need to work as if the kingdom is returning today. We do not know when the kingdom is going to come in its completeness, but we need to be prepared for it coming now. And that should transform our relationships with God. It should transform our relationships with one another. And especially with the other, those we find different to ourselves. Because God is working, we read in that Isaiah passage, through his Holy Spirit, through wisdom and understanding, through counsel and might, through knowledge and fear of the Lord. So he's working in our minds, he's working in our with our hands in the practical way we work together and in those relationships. And it's at the end of time that we shall see the completion of that ideal. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah draws a parallel between different pairs who are normally in conflict with one another. The wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the kid, the lion and the ox, the child and the snake. Humanity, if you like, and evil. And these things will be reconciled at the end of time. We haven't looked at Romans, but please do take your notice sheets away with you with the readings, because Romans develops the theme of harmony and reconciliation. He's particularly looking at the reconciliation of new Gentile converts with
Jewish converts. Jewish converts who, after all, were the first Christians. And Paul is reminding them that they should be in harmony, not in conflict. So please do take a moment to read that and to see the reference back to the evidence that Paul is quoting for the inclusion of Gentiles among the people of God, and how he is calling the root of Jesse, which Isaiah refers to, as being Jesus, the Christ, our King and our hope. And then briefly, as I close, let us consider what Matthew is telling us. He is calling out, through John the Baptist, the coming kingdom in Jesus. And wherever people submit to the rule of God, there the kingdom of heaven exists. So when we pray day by day, your kingdom come on earth as it does in heaven, we are praying that where we are, that little bit of heaven goes with us as we witness to Christ in our lives. And as we take God's word out with us from this place today, we need to live that presence of God in our lives. And as we quietly witness to our faith, as we share why we have been to church here on a Sunday morning with our friends and our family and our colleagues, we pray, don't we, that there may be a spark of inquiry. Somebody may look and say, I wonder, is God actually touching my heart? Do I need to make a choice for him? Because God's word is a transforming word. It transforms our lives by the redemption we have received in Jesus Christ. It transforms our lives through the reconciliation we have with God and with one another. And God's word transforms our lives through the rehabilitation we live out in our reordered lives as we are forgiven and made new. And we celebrate all that as we come together around the Lord's table this morning. Do this, he says, in remembrance of me. Amen.